Is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. An intense search for the suspect in the murder of UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson in Midtown Manhattan. Police have released clear surveillance video of his face.
Sources say he arrived in New York November 24th on a bus that originated in Atlanta. Greyhound saying in a statement, we are fully cooperating with authorities on this active investigation. Police are investigating whether the shooter left the city on a bus after the killing.
ABC's Aaron Katursky in Seoul, South Korea. Protesters outside the National Assembly calling on President Yoon Suk-yeol to resign for his botched attempt to impose martial law. An arson attack at a synagogue in Melbourne, Australia. The Australian Prime Minister condemning the anti-Semitic attack. Police are searching for two suspects. This morning's report from the Labor Department showing the U.S. added 227,000 jobs in November. That's more than the 208,000 that analysts expected. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. The holiday season has arrived at the state capitol. With more, here's Civic Media's Savannah Tomei Olson.
3-2-1-0.
The holiday tree at the Wisconsin State Capitol is now lit. Officials held a ceremony to flip the switch. For the second year in a row, the tree is from Rhinelander. The tree is decorated with ornaments from Wisconsin students, celebrating that our state park system turns 125 years old next year. Governor Tony Evers.
We asked students from around the state to create ornaments that reflect what Wisconsin's natural spaces mean to them and how Wisconsin park system reflects who we are as a state and our shared history.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
It's not just Christmas. Other holidays have displays up at the Capitol building as well. A major business is adding jobs to Wisconsin. With more, here's Civic Media's Stuart J. Waddles.
Pharmaceutical giant Eli Lilly has plans for a $3 billion expansion of its Pleasant Prairie facility. Drug maker is looking to boost production of diabetes and obesity medicines. The project will add 750 highly skilled jobs to the current workforce of over 100 employees. Construction is set to start next year with 2,000 workers hired to build the new addition. Between Eli Lilly and Microsoft, there's more than $6 billion of development going on in southeastern Wisconsin.
The new facilities could be online as soon as 2026. Budget items are on the agenda for several area communities, including in Onalaska, where a committee is recommending nearly a $12 million capital improvement budget for next year. The budget would include $4 million to finish the renovations of the Onalaska Community Center. That project is seeking to expand space, update the gym, and add a kitchen. The city's parks board is also considering expanding the 31-year-old Omni Center, including the addition of more parking. For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Packers lose to the Lions. High from Ford Field in Detroit, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Lions kicking a last-second field goal to win 34-31. It was a back-and-forth game all night. Detroit jumping out to a 17-7 lead. But in the second half, Keyshawn Nixon intercepted a Jared Goff pass, and the Packers offense scored to take the lead. Head coach Matt LaFleur.
Thought our guys did a good job coming out the second half, kind of getting the momentum by going down, scoring a touchdown, hitting the big play to Christian, then defensively getting the takeaway and converting that into points. But ultimately, I thought we just started, especially on the offensive side of the ball, too slow.
So the Packers are now 9-4, but running back Josh Jacobs, who scored three touchdowns, thinks they could face the Lions here in the postseason.
Yeah, we're going to see them again. We're going to see them again. That's the beauty of it all, you know, take these feelings, process them, and go back to work.
NBA, the Bucks are in Boston tonight to play the Celtics. College Hoops, Marquette hosts Wisconsin tomorrow at 12:30. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Partly cloudy and warmer today. We'll get to right around 30 for a high this afternoon. The wind west at 5 to 15. 19 tonight, partly cloudy. 43 tomorrow. Will be sunny with a high of 48 by Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now at 19.
The Todd Alba Show.
Cash Patel, who Trump has nominated to be the head of the FBI, saying he wants to basically shut down the main parts of the FBI. Bill Barr, MAGA Republican Attorney General to Donald Trump. Quote, the very idea of moving Patel into a role like this showed a shocking detachment from reality. Unquote. This is not the left calling out Patel. This is the right.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Jeffrey from Madison.
I worked for the city of Madison for 34 years. Act 10 cost me $42,000.
Yep.
In 1977, the state of Wisconsin passed a law that says public employees cannot strike. With Act 10, now we can't bargain for working conditions and benefits, so they basically turned public employees into second-class citizens.
Yes.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dan Schaefer will be here from the recombobulation area. We'll break down all things in the news and wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, Earl. We made it to the end of another week.
Yeah, man. And Calvin, it's going to be 50 degrees, man.
Yeah, it's going to be a big change from yesterday. Yesterday was... chilly.
Wait, 50 to
no,
50 today?
No, Sunday.
Oh,
yeah, and high and you know 47 on Saturday, man, and then 48 on Monday. A veritable
Indian summer.
Yeah, only Sandy would come up with
if that's politically correct. I don't know,
but. Native American summer.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's my co-host, Sandy Williams. Good morning to you, Sandy. How you doing, man?
Well, I'm doing all right. In fact, now that I hear that it's going to get warm, and I've got my ice rink to build, and I'm going to do it this weekend. So maybe I'll do it in the warmth.
I was about to ask if you had started it already.
No, I haven't started it, and I've been procrastinating. Last year, it never was cold enough. I put it up, and I could never put water in it because it was going to be a swimming pool and not an ice rink. But we'll see.
Well, you know, I was looking at the weather, and they said even with this cold start to our winter, Sandy, we are still listed as one of the warmest years in history.
I think it's confirmed that it will be the warmest year in the world's history, at least. I don't know about which locale within the world, but the world at large, apparently, it's going to be the warmest year, and which is, it keeps setting that record year after year, basically. So
Sandy, you and I, we've got a lot to cover, a lot to talk about, but I would be remiss. We watched the Packer game last night. I will tell you, a Thursday night football game that mattered, that had intrigue, that had excitement, that had great football, that had, you know, all the way down to the wire. You couldn't have asked for a better football game.
Well, I could have asked for a better game. It could have ended up the other way. I told you, I had this premonition that when they went up by a field goal instead of a touchdown at the end, I thought, when they used a field goal to tie the game rather than a touchdown to go in the lead, I thought, yeah, this isn't going to go well.
Well, Sandy, go ahead.
Well, and it didn't, you know. So it's kind of infuriating, and it's the formula in the NFL. But you know, in the second half, the defenses tend to go into this prevent process, and it seems to prevent touchdowns, but it doesn't prevent field goals is the problem.
Well, you know, Sandy, that game, you know, we watch the Central Division of the NFL just be a slough trough for a long time. The Bears, the Vikings, the Lions, the Packers. Yeah. And so we could never, you never thought of them for decades almost, you know. And now all of a sudden, it's the best division in football.
Yeah, by a mile.
Yes.
You know, it's got three of the four teams have winning records, and the winning record of this conference at large is like 850 or something. I mean, it's unbelievable, actually. Well, three of the teams are going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, three of the teams are going to make the playoffs. They're without question very, very tightly, you know, talent-wise. There's not that big a difference. The Packers really are very, very talented young team. The Lions aren't an old team, and the Vikings aren't an old team either. They're going to be good for some time to come. The Bears are a team that's coming up, and it's – look, man, it was what I wanted to see, except for, you know, this should be –
except for the end.
Well, yeah. plus it should be outside. You know, it's the Central Division, it's the Black and Blue Division, and you and I remember a time when they would have been playing, slogging through that cold weather last night, which I think would have had a difference, would have made a difference if that game was played in Lambeau Field.
Yeah, and I think when the Bears finished when I saw the rendering of the new Soldiers Field, I think it's got a roof too, so the Lambeau will be the only outdoor field in the conference.
So when do you think the Packers are going to get a...
They'll never get it.
No, no, man. They're never going to do it.
And Buffalo is building a stadium that doesn't have a roof over the field. So,
but it covers. You know,
the spectators. Yeah. So they don't have to. They don't have to shovel the stands anymore.
Right? But, anyway, Sandy, a lot to get to this morning, and I want to begin with the House GOP set for the tiniest vote margin possible. With all of the fanfare and all the excitement that, you know, the people who supported the Republicans and Donald Trump, we just saw, Sandy, with the small margin, the Democrats, the last time they had control over the House, when you've got such a small margin, there's not a whole lot that you can actually get done. But this is one of the tiniest in history, Sandy. Let's talk about the impact. Even though the Republicans control the presidency and the Senate, with all the different things that Trump and the Republicans are talking about, with that narrow margin, how much can actually get done?
Well, you know, you have to look at the Senate, too. I mean, all of those Republicans in the Senate are not MAGA Republicans. Collins from Maine and Murkowski and a number of them are independent thinking senators. So it's not going to be that easy to corral caucus discipline in the U.S. Senate. And in the House, it's going to be razor thin. It does take a fair amount of chutzpah for a Republican congressperson to stand up against the caucus in a situation, because congressional people, I think, feel more vulnerable to getting primaried, and the power of the president to threaten primaries. They run every 2 years. You know, they're constantly thinking about getting reelected. So there will be some real nasty kinds of efforts to discipline everyone in that Republican caucus. But I don't think much of what we're going to see from Donald Trump in the early years, in the early part of this, is going to involve legislation, quite frankly. He's talked about things that require legislation. We'll be talking about some of those later in the show, like who gets taxed and on what. But I think the primary things, the activity we're going to see early on, are going to be exercising the power of the imperial presidency, or the attempt to exercise powers of an imperial presidency, and not so much legislation. But to the extent that anything controversial is proposed, I think it'll have a great deal of trouble passing. There's the filibuster power on a lot of things that the Senate can hold up, and the House is razor thin.
But Senator, you and I had spoken about the fact that Donald Trump and his power to terrify elected officials to go along with him, whether they agree with that or not. Because all he has to lose is one, maybe two Republicans.
Like I said, though, it takes some chutzpah for those one or two to stand up to him, because his power of threatening primary opposition is probably greatest at the congressional level. It's easiest to find candidates there. Those people stand for re-election every 2 years. And there are a number of those congressional seats are comfortably Republican seats. But then the question is the incumbent Republican comfortable with the primary? And a lot of the power that's been exercised by MAGA Republicans in terms of disciplining people has been in those gerrymandered or at least reliably red seats where the Republican primary decides who it is that comes to Congress.
So Sandy, Tony says we're going to see how strong that executive order power has become quickly.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. We'll talk about that in the next segment. But there's no question in my mind that Trump and the Project 2025 concepts that I think they'll be trying to implement, and the stuff that's going to be proposed by Ramaswamy and Musk, is all going to be pushing the envelope on the power of the presidency, the power to impound money that's been authorized by Congress, the power to order the army to do things, for instance, in terms of rounding up immigrants. There's going to be a whole range of things, the foreign policy powers with respect to tariffs, the power to constrain activity in various agencies. Can he really harness and defeat the power of the EPA, for instance? And what is it that he'll do with respect to the Federal Reserve?
So, Sandy, so Mike Johnson, the Speaker, may somehow have less power this time around than he did last time.
Well, he's going to be herding cats, and it's going to be, he's going to be a busy shepherd dog trying to hold the caucus together when you've got such a fragile margin. I mean, that's a fool's errand almost, to be Speaker in a situation where you're got a razor-thin margin.
855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show. A House GOP set for the tiniest vote margin. We're going to so many different things that we're going to be talking about, this morning on the Earl Ingram Show. We're going to be talking about Biden considering preemptive pardons for officials and allies. We're going to talk about the American dream. Is it dying? The housing crisis, five reasons why Trump will govern like no other president in history. On and on and on with Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Do you know or work with kids who have special health care needs? Help them live their best lives. Contact Wisconsin Wayfinder Children's Resource Network. Our specialists will connect you with services in your area. Wisconsin Wayfinder is free and confidential. Call 877-947-2929 or visit dhs.wi.gov/WISCWAY. Connect today. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
We visited Alexandria, Minnesota a few summers ago. Great time. Lakes, fishing, all that. But this year, for the holidays, we wanted a winter vacation that was just as memorable, just as family-friendly, but with lights and snow, and this time, with our grandkids in tow. This holiday, it's Alexandria again. We're coming back to make new memories.
Explore your holiday getaway options at explorealex.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. As Democrats pick up the pieces from their loss to Donald Trump, one of the first major decisions the party will be making is to select the new chair of the Democratic National Committee. The race for that role now has a major Wisconsin connection. Ben Wickler, the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, is now officially running for DNC chair. One Democratic source I talked to characterized Wickler as a Goldilocks candidate for the role. He's liked by both centrists and progressives, big-dollar donors and grassroots organizers, and knows how important state parties around the country can be in a second Trump term. So, could he be just right for the role? The vote for DNC chair is scheduled for February 1st. A lot can happen between now and then. But whether or not Wickler wins in his bid for the role, it will certainly be a story to watch for Democratic politics in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Committed discreetly, it was handled so neatly, and it shouldn't surprise you at all. You know, break on the records, burn the cassettes. I'd be lying if I told you that I had no regrets. There were so many mistakes, and what a difference it makes, but still it shouldn't surprise you at all, you know.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host Sandy Williams and you. So Sandy, the music.
Well, it's about not being too surprised about things that people might describe as surprising. So, you know, what's unfolding now shouldn't really surprise us at all, you know, in terms of the Trump administration. It's what he told us was going to be happening. And the shocking part of it now, I guess, is that it's all happening. But yeah.
So, Sandy, do you think that as we were talking about before we went to break, so many people are expecting those promises that Donald Trump made to become a reality. And even though government as we know it is going to be forever changed with this Trump presidency, there's certain things that he just can't even with what he's attempting to do, and even with Project 2025, they're not just going to be able to wave a magic wand and then everything disappears and goes away, are they?
No, well, absolutely not. I mean, the logistics, first of all, just the logistics of what he's talked about and what Project 2025 talks about, firing 5,000 federal employees, or at Project 2025 dreams of even firing 15,000 and then replacing 15,000 employees is a logistical nightmare, right? I mean, it's not easy to go out and find 15,000 people who know how to do what needs to be done in each of these jobs in government. And then applying loyalty tests to them and expecting to find competence and loyalty simultaneously in a broad range of people. The ability to for instance, the promises he made regarding taxes, the notion that Social Security income wouldn't get taxed is not something the president can do. It would require congressional action. But the fact is that Donald Trump made thousands of promises, it seems. I mean, hundreds at least. And his followers all embraced the ones that were promising as far as they were concerned. But all of his followers would make apologies for him and say, well, he's not really going to apply tariffs across the board. That's just negotiation for those who didn't really believe that tariffs across the board were a good idea. And he's not really going to cut Social Security taxes. Everyone knew that when he made the promise. And so all these promises were made almost tongue-in-cheek, designed to entice people to vote for him. But none of his followers could stand up right today and tell you which of those promises he's going to even try to implement, much less which ones will get implemented. And implementing many of them is a very difficult process. I mean, the president has some powers of the presidency that allow him to unilaterally do some things in the areas of foreign policy and tariffs. There are some capacity for him to control the activities in the executive branch. But for instance, the expenditure of money that's been authorized by Congress, the ability of the president to bottle that up and not spend it is something that clearly I think will get tested, because I think he will try to. It's called impoundment, where the executive says, I'm not going to spend the money authorized by Congress. And there are some narrow exclusions from currently the Supreme Court's prohibition against the president impounding money that's been authorized by Congress. But I'm confident that with the help of Ramaswamy and Elon Musk, that he's going to try to expand his capacity to not spend money authorized by Congress.
855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. So Sandy, what you just said, so Joe Biden has authorized and the Congress has authorized the infrastructure money that's authorized into the future. What you are saying is Donald Trump can't now come in and prevent that money from continuing down.
Being spent. Yes. I mean, there have been Supreme Court cases. There was a test back in the Nixon era. There was a subsequent test. There were tests a couple of times before that where presidents have tried to exercise the power to impound the money, to simply say, I don't agree with the expenditure of that money that's been authorized by Congress, and I hereby prohibit that agency from spending the money. But the fact is that the Supreme Court, in all those circumstances, said there is no power of impoundment on the part of the president. Money authorized for expenditure by Congress must be spent, and only in the circumstance where there are programmatic difficulties in actually spending the money can you defer the expenditure of that money? Can you defer it for a while you work out those difficulties? But I'm confident that they will go back to the Supreme Court on this issue, that they will try to impound money, and there will be people withstanding to bring that case before the Supreme Court, questioning the power to impoundment. So I think what we're going to be seeing in the early years of this presidency is a lot of litigation, quite frankly.
Well, Sandy, there's a new Supreme Court, though. There's a Supreme Court with its fingerprints all over it.
Absolutely. That's why I think that they will be emboldened to ignore prior Supreme Court precedent on an issue like impoundment. And they will definitely be trying to stretch the power of the presidency into something much more like an imperial presidency. And one of the imperial powers would be to decide whether money gets spent or not, regardless of whether Congress has authorized it. And so, you know, that's an area. And similarly, the ability to fire 15,000 federal employees. I mean, there's probably 3,500 where it's clear that the president has appointing powers. But everything beyond that is going to be subject to litigation and test, I believe.
All right. Trump promises to end taxes on Social Security. Sandy, and you know, taxes on tips and those kinds of things. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. Sandy Williams is my co-host. You can join us at 855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Friday with Earl Ingram and Sandy Williams.
Eagle 1490 AM. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. A UW Board of Regents meeting yesterday was interrupted by protesters. With more, here's Civic Media's Savannah Tomei Olson.
Protesters were arrested when they interrupted a UW Board of Regents meeting yesterday on the UW-Madison campus. Student groups who organized the action say they want the UW system to divest from companies they say have a financial stake in the Israel-Gaza conflict. At first, about 50 demonstrators were silently lining the walls of the meeting. UW-Madison police say eventually the protesters started chanting, and they arrested 19 of them. Within about 90 minutes, they had all been released. Students from both UW-Madison and UW-Milwaukee were part of the demonstration, advocating for Palestine, according to the student groups who organized it. In the spring, both universities had protesters camping on campus grounds, which led to policy changes.
UW police said that they would consider citations for any future offenses. Recycling might not be top of mind during the holiday season, but the Wisconsin DNR is asking people to cut down on waste. With more, here's Civic Media's Derek Tritt.
With the holiday season upon us, people are buying gifts, food, and decorations in droves. Amongst all the merriment, it can be hard to remember just how much waste we can produce this time of year, and that there's an easy way to curb that waste. Recycling. Rules for recycling vary locally, but there are several items that can be recycled anywhere in Wisconsin, according to DNR Waste Reduction and Division Coordinator Jennifer Sunbrow.
From La Crosse to Milwaukee up into the North Woods, you can recycle containers made of steel, aluminum, glass, and plastics numbers 1 and 2, as well as cardboard, newspaper, magazines, and other papers.
Batteries and electronics like tablets and phones should be brought to recycling drop-off sites, as they can cause fires in waste bins, in transportation, and at recycling facilities not equipped to handle electronics.
You can find out more on the DNR's website. From the Civic Media Newsroom in Western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Cuska for AM 1490 WLCX and LacrosseEagle.com.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie have a new show that they say will be as unforgettable as the first show they did together called, who cares? The duo is collaborating again for Peacock's new show, Paris and Nicole, The Encore. The short 3-episode series drops December 12th on Peacock. Following in the footsteps of Ross and Rachel, Barry Keoghan and Sabrina Carpenter are on a break after dating for a year due to rumors of infidelity on the part of Keoghan, who apparently has been hooking up with a TikToker, probably someone who got famous lip-syncing Carpenter songs. The influencer's name is Becky Hill, and she has 4 million followers on OnlyFans, which is somehow 5 million more than I have. People assume infidelity is the reason they split, but maybe Carpenter finally saw Saltburn and hasn't stopped vomiting. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Partly cloudy and warmer today. We'll get to right around 30 for a high this afternoon. The wind west at 5 to 15. 19 tonight, partly cloudy. 43 tomorrow. Will be sunny with a high of 48 by Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now at 19.
Home ownership. At Progressive, we know it's part of the American dream. It's winds blowing across a fruited plain and also your new fire pit, which subsequently sets your gazebo ablaze. It's hard-hitting football and an even harder-hitting price estimate from your general contractor that's a star-spangled bummer. It's also round-the-clock protection when you bundle your home and auto with Progressive, which can help keep the American dream of home ownership alive and kicking. Get a quote at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Not available in all states.
Matt Nair on air.
This shouldn't be a thing.
Michigan man leads lawnmower chase. I'll stop, says the suspect. Instead, he reaches under the seat and pulls out a gun.
Shoots himself in the hand.
The deputy has his taser trained on him, and yes, he tased him.
I'm not advocating for crime, but boost something that goes faster than cop on foot.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Civic Media sports guru Mike Clemens, Lisa O'Hearn from the Sister Bay Historical Society, and it's a bar band Friday night. So Terry Barr joins the show with great music.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy, we talked a little bit in the last segment about whether or not these promises that really, you know, there was a time, Sandy, when, you know, we knew how things ran in this country. Donald Trump and Project 2025 is going to attempt to make these major changes. But you say that there are checks and balances that may be strong enough to resist even this, some of these things that they're talking about.
Well, on the side of modifying how the White House runs and digging deep into the civil service with firings and appointing loyal folks, most of the checks and balances there are logistical. Okay, the ability to make appointments. So Donald Trump failed to fill all the appointments he had to make last go round,
right,
when there was like 3,500 of them. But they're talking about creating 15,000 vacancies in government and then running around and finding people competent, hopefully competent to do the job, who are also ideologically loyal to the propositions being proposed by the White House. And that's a very difficult job, okay, very hard to accomplish and very disruptive. I mean, you know, it could destroy the functioning of the government in the process. So my concerns on the executive side of the things that he can accomplish is, number one, can he actually do the things he's saying, and how disruptive could they be to the governmental processes? Everything else that he talks about that requires legislative action, changing taxes, changing who gets taxed, et cetera, will require Congress, which obviously does have some checks and balances, particularly with a razor-thin majority in the House, and with the filibuster power on the Senate side. Now, a fair number of bills that relate to funding the government are not subject to the filibuster rule, but there are at least some independent senators on the Republican side who are not necessarily going to toe the MAGA line in every way. So some of his ideas, for instance, the modification of taxing Social Security, has a huge financial impact on the budget, okay, in terms of creating deficits by a loss of revenue. And so his capacity to deliver on that promise, or the capacity to deliver on the promise regarding tip income, is one which, if it's accomplished, has the potential to have some serious negative impacts from an economic standpoint. And I think Wall Street is worried about, to the extent that it's worried about the Trump presidency, the thing it's most worried about is the fact that he might exercise power sufficient to accomplish all of these things he's talked about doing that have a fiscal impact, like reducing taxes and eliminating taxes on various portions of income and the disruption that would have caused in the societal taxation, as well as the coffers of the federal government. Of trying to control the Federal Reserve and its conduct and the tariff that he's talking about. All of these things are highly inflationary and could be very troublesome for the economy.
So, Sandy, let's for instance say, okay, he wants to get rid of 5,000 governmental employees. It's pretty safe to say one area for certain that he's going to be working on is the IRS. And so clearly with the budget deficits that the nation already has, to cut back on IRS employees is some of these things, Sandy, you can't make it up.
The deal is, it's the stuff that they talk about doing is so cynically responsive to people with wealth, right? I mean, who worries more about the IRS and audits than people who have lots of money to lose in an IRS audit, okay? And cutting back on IRS capabilities is simply going to be reflected in their inability to carry out audits. Who has the biggest outstanding audit pending right now? The president has talked about it for 8 years, how he's dealing with a big IRS audit and has been since before he entered politics. The policies that they're talking about adopting, for instance, his desire to reduce regulation of cryptocurrency and his appointment of someone from to head the SEC, who has announced his desire to reduce regulation of cryptocurrency, certainly is unusually it's unusually clear why Donald Trump might have an interest in that, or Elon Musk might have an interest in that. Elon Musk has placed a huge bet on Doge, which is a cryptocurrency, and the Trump family business 6 months ago started a new business venture, which is premised on cryptocurrency and the value of cryptocurrency. And incidentally, the value of the Bitcoin has now exceeded $100,000 in light of the market's view that Donald Trump is going to do a whole bunch of things that are beneficial to cryptocurrency. And so, you know, all of these things are nest feathering for the very people who are in government. And many of his appointments are people who have a direct interest in the regulations that they will now be responsible
for. Well, you know, Sandy, you've been talking nonstop about for years now about one of the major problems we have is that there's not enough resources coming into the federal government to deal with the output, the outgoing,
expenditures.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, revenue, we've reduced revenue, but we haven't reduced expenditures. And Donald Trump reduced revenue without reducing expenditures. And he's now talking about step one of his administration being to again reduce revenue. And reducing expenditures is a very tough fight, you know, and it needs to be carried out carefully so that it doesn't materially damage Tom, Dick, and Mary, right? Because ultimately, most of the programs of government are designed to support the people and to support people who need support, and to protect the people from, for instance, the FDA. It's a protective agency.
Well, Sandy, we've got this $2 trillion, you know, deficit every you know, fiscal year, and now, if he cuts back on the IRS, the entity that's supposed to go out and get those resources,
right?
Well, what are we talking about here? I mean, it's just nonsensical, Sandy, if you give it any thought, that what he's attempting to do is really only going to hurt the average American person.
Well, yeah, and then the deficits that he ran during his administration were record-breaking. And apparently, the way he ran his business included record-breaking deficits based on numerous bankruptcies that resulted from the way he operated his businesses. And I'm just concerned that we're headed in that same direction for the federal government. And we are getting to a dicier and dicier time. Mitt Romney, in his departure speech to the U.S. Senate, spent a great deal of time talking about the worries about the deficit and fiscal discipline. And whether you're a Republican or Democrat, we do need fiscal discipline. What we don't need is to exercise fiscal discipline by slashing programs that will be harmful to Tom, Dick, and Mary. What we need to do is properly focus our government expenditures on doing the things that the people of this country need. And then we need to make sure we raise the revenue to support it. And the loyal patriots in this country who have become very wealthy as the result of all of the infrastructure in this country that's designed to support people and their ability to achieve wealth ought to be eager to pay taxes rather than being the guy that Donald Trump announces he's being, which is any fool. It takes a fool to pay taxes that when they can get out of it. Okay, that was his response to not paying taxes. It's only a fool pays taxes if they can avoid it. Well, maybe a patriot pays taxes because of what this country has afforded them.
So, Sandy, is it safe to say then that what we're looking at is Donald Trump attempting to run the government of the United States as his business?
Well, it certainly seems that way. You know, everyone has always said, gosh, Wouldn't it be great to have the government run like a business? And I think running the government in a manner that is efficient in terms of how it delivers its services is a desirable outcome. If that's what running the government like a business means, what we don't want is a president who runs a government like it's his business. Okay,
right.
And I'm afraid that that's what we've seen. I mean, Jared Kushner making an immense amount of money out of a private equity fund that he's able to create with money that he gets from China and Saudi Arabia, right after he is responsible for trips to and negotiations with China and Saudi Arabian governments on behalf of the United States. And to think that cryptocurrency policy might be dictated by a president who has a big stake in having cryptocurrency be underregulated and in a position to be very valuable to someone who trades in it. I think that I talked about this last show, but I think that the corruption of K Street, the corruption that is caused by lobbyists and the way they funnel money from interest groups into campaigns is a particular form of corruption that isn't necessarily feathering the pocket of the congressman or senator themselves. That's clear corruption. But what we're seeing happening now is bright in the sunshine corruption in terms of compromised people who have compromised values being put into positions in which that compromise is apparent.
All right, let's go to phone lines. Let's go to CJ. Good morning to you, CJ. You say what?
Good morning, Earl and Sandy. Thanks for taking my call. I know you won't keep me very long.
If you stay on topic, you'll be on the line. If you stray off the topic,
There's different rules for
no, there's not. CJ, what do you want to talk about, man?
Well, as I enjoy thoroughly listening to you gentlemen, fear of the future. When we've got a disaster going on presently with this administration, it doesn't really frustrate me because this just clarifies what you gentlemen really are worried about. The disaster that's in the Oval Office right now.
Hey, CJ, this administration is over. It's basically over. We're talking about the next administration. What are your thoughts?
It's going to be amazing. He's got some great candidates, Kash Patel. Read his resume. It's going to be amazing. It already is. You're seeing changes around the world because this man believes in peace through strength and trust but verify, just like Ronald Reagan did. And the wimp in Oval Office right now falling asleep during meetings.
Hey, CJ. He's done, okay? All right? Joe Biden's presidency is basically over for all practical purposes. So there's no point in talking about that. We're talking about Donald Trump. So, Sandy, hang on the phone lines, guys. We're going to talk about five reasons why Donald Trump will govern like no president before in history. Hang on the phone lines, guys. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We know what happened the last time Trump applied this ham-fisted tariff policy. He had to write a $12 billion check to farmers because he crushed so many of our agricultural exports. and drove up the cost of single-family homes because the cost of lumber from places like Canada went way the frick up, everything got more expensive.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Pat Kreitlow, all your time in the media, television, radio, what have you, what was one or two of the oddest things that people were complaining about?
As a TV anchor, your hair.
You have some of the finest hair around. How could anybody criticize your hair?
Oh, well, because a consultant forced me to change it.
Were there focus groups?
I'm not aware of any focus groups other than the audience, which universally hated it. It was a bowl haircut.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow,
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Matt Nair on air.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you. And Sandy, we're going to talk a little bit about the five reasons why Donald Trump is going to, his presidency will be different than any other. In the meantime, we're going to go back to the phone lines and Brendan from New Jersey. Good morning to you, Brendan. You say what?
Yeah, I'd like to, just give the last caller, he's a typical MAGA moron out there who's just still eating the cotton candy that's being fed to him by Newsmax and Fox News. But nobody's paying attention to the fact that Xi Jinping is basically just he's already screwing us over with his big mouth. And China has basically signed a huge trade deal with Mexico. They're screwing over the farmers now, where they came in while he was in office and bought all the farmland up. They're cutting out imports from us, which is going to hurt our export business. And it's basically just said, well, you know what? You're going to put tariffs on it. We're putting tariffs on anything you send us. Oh, and by the way, we're going to sign this huge deal with Mexico, where we get most of our vegetables and other food products. And nobody's paying attention to that. Everybody's still playing the guessing game. And we're sitting around talking about what he might do, what he could do, what guardrails are there. And while we're going to be doing that, I'll guarantee you in the first year, his little puppet masters who really direct what he does, people that wrote Project 2025, will be in the background taking care of a lot of other things that are just going to pop up on us like a bad fever. And everybody better wake up and start really looking at what's going on, because he's already affected our economy in horrible ways that we're not even aware of yet.
All right, Brendan, thank you very much for the call. Sandy, you want to respond to any of that?
Well, I mean, the fact is that he's got a very simplistic, Trump has announced very simplistic policies, as if the United States can magically impose tariffs and the rest of the world will simply supplicate. Canada has already begun to become reactive and will find ways to react. For instance, we were all upset about the dairy tariffs they were imposing on our dairy goods, you know, and that was a big problem last time around when he imposed tariffs. You know, the world will look different and will react differently than he believes. And the world has far more resource than I think he understands to be reactive to what it is he does. And everything they do that is reactive will be damaging to us. And for instance, a tariff war with China last time resulted in us having to provide billions of dollars of relief to the agricultural sector in this country, because one of the biggest export targets for our agricultural goods is China. And so, you know, they imposed tariffs, and the amount of agricultural goods being exported suddenly dropped dramatically. Huge problem for the farm community. Well, that same thing can happen in a variety of sectors, and particularly when you impose tariffs across the board. So, we'll have to see how this gets implemented. But the world at large is, meanwhile, beginning to be, just as he pointed out, is beginning to react and is beginning to implement the things to defend themselves.
Let's go to Gene from McClare. Good morning to you, Gene. You say what?
Good morning, guys. You know, I hope people don't listen to that, the guy that calls in all the time making Trump look like a saint, because remember, he's a felon and he's also attacked women. However, I've been watching, too, the world. The world is reacting. They saw what he did to our country last time, and they're still in shock that the people of the United States of America would vote for a felon, the one that didn't even protect the people, you know, from the coronavirus and the things that he did and the stuff that he spread and the crimes that he committed against us, the people. So wake up, folks. You better be ready, because it isn't pretty, and they're already talking about it. You need to expand your views of the whole world and not just in your little cult, because this is significant. Thank you, guys, and have a good weekend.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the call. You know, Sandy, we saw...
Well, let me speak to one thing, because I thought it was interesting with respect to caller CJ, that the person he wanted to describe as being... The one name that he described as being a great appointment was Kash Patel to the FBI, to the head of the FBI. Now, the FBI is an important agency, but why would it be so important to a MAGA Republican that someone like Kash Patel would be appointed, unless what they're talking about is the political retribution that Trump has talked about so often with respect to how he intends to deploy the Department of Justice? Because, that would be the primary impact of the appointment of someone like Kash Patel.
All right. Five reasons why Trump will govern like no other president in history. Next up on the Earl Ingram Show. It's Friday. That means Friday is my co-host Sandy Williams and you.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll be live at WRCE in Richland Center, an entire hour of the Ewing brothers, Brady and Brandon, sports, life, outdoors, and more, and Peter Rapine. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy. We're talking about the Act 10 overturned by a Dane County judge.
I think it's important for everyone to know that this was the state that in 1959 first granted public employees the right to organize and bargain collectively. We have a lot to take back. You know, I used to say take back America, but I say take back Wisconsin.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.